you. So I'd like now to give you a method to compute structure constants in what I defined this morning, structure constants in k h of x. So here it will be k 0, so vector bundles. So I will define in which basis I mean structure constants. And so what is x? Here is g mod b, where g is a complex semi-simple group. Okay, and so b, okay, it's a Borel subgroup, and I need h, which is a torus, so it's c star l. Okay. And so you note that such a group, a semi-simple group, can be defined from its Cartan matrix G. So A, what is it? So it's integers, mainly between 1 and L. Okay, and so A II is 2, and minus A IJ is a non-negative integer. Okay, so for example, if G is SLN, A is just 2 to 2, and minus 1, minus 1, minus 1. Okay, and so it defines G, but I also need a root system. So if H is the algebra of H, I need a simple root, so alpha I, in so between 1 and L, so it's a basis of H star, and alpha I check, so which is a basis of H. Okay, so it's simple roots and simple coroots. Okay, and what is the link with A? In fact, alpha I, maybe J, better. Alpha J, yes, check, is equal to A, G, J, I. Okay, so now when we have a geometric object like K, H, or X, we would like to find a description in terms of A. So I like to find a description of K A of X in terms of A and the simple roots alpha I. Okay, so I need maybe more. Yes, so H acts on X, we know by multiplication, so and so B. Okay. And so I will denote XH by W. So it's normalizer of H in G mod H. Okay. And so now to get such a description, I will use Bott-Samuelson varieties. So what is it? So first, for all simple roots, I can define P alpha I. So what is it? First, we know for all simple roots, we can define a simple reflection in W. And so for such a reflection, we can define a group B S alpha I B union B. So you know it's between G and B. Okay, so in the case of SLN of C, it's just P alpha I, just a set of matrices. So of course we have B, and you just add one coordinate here, for example. So it's 0, 0, 0, and it's I, and I plus 1. Okay, so in SLN. So here it's easy to check that, in fact, P alpha I mod B, it's CP1. And it's a general fact, so P alpha I mod B is isomorphic to CP1. Okay, and so now we'd like to generalize this construction, but now we choose not one simple root, but n simple roots. So definition. So I will denote them by mu 1, mu n. Okay, for example, you can take n times alpha 1. Okay, just a way to index this root. So mu 1, mu n. Example. And I want to define gamma of mu 1, mu n. So here, in fact, it will be gamma of alpha I. Gamma of mu 1, mu n. So it's a space of orbits of bn, it's not b, but it's bn, b times b times bn times, acting on a product of, so it's called a minimal parabolic subgroup. So p mu 1 times p mu 2 times p mu n. So what is the action? So acting by maybe here. So we have G1 Gn and B1 Bn. Maybe two. So it's so G1, B1, B1 minus 1, G2, B2, and so on. Okay, and at the end, it's G, it's a B, BN minus 1, minus 1, GN, BN. You see, in fact, when you multiply and you get rid of B1, BN minus 1, and you just keep BN. So, yes. Because we want to define a map from that to G mod B. It's a positive integer, yes. Yes. Okay, here n is 1. Okay, so, okay. Yes. Okay. So, what is it? It's, so, for example, so if n is 1, it's CP1. But another example, if you choose mu 1 and mu 2, such that mu 1 on mu 2 check is equal to 0. Yes, it's that. So in a way it means that you have no link between mu 1 and mu 2. Then you will just get CP1 times CP1. And in fact, when you get a Cartan number which is not 0, it's more complicated than CP1 times CP1. So, but it's a quite simple variety. First, it's so a few facts. First, it's smooth and projective variety. I will explain why, by induction, in fact. I will explain by induction, it's clear, but I will explain why, yes. So, projective variety. First, N2 B, in fact, P mu 1 acts on gamma by multiplication, so B, not G, just P mu 1. And so B and so H acts on gamma. Yes, maybe I need a notation. So just a notation into a square bracket, it will mean the class of G1, Gn. Okay, so acts on gamma by multiplication on G1. Okay, and so for example, why is it a projective variety? In fact, I will need, you see, if you have gamma of mu 1, mu n minus 1, mu n, you can send gamma to gamma of mu 1, mu n minus 1, by, so pi n, you just forget gn. Okay, and we can check that it's a vibration. So it looks like CP1 times CP1 and so on, with fiber CP1. So we start with CP1, and you have n minus 1 vibration with fiber CP1 to get gamma of mu 1, mu n. Okay, so it's a quite simple variety. At the beginning, you have CP1. And that's why it's quite easy to compute by induction the cohomology of the K-theory of such varieties. I like to describe a fixed point of this action. So fixed points. So it's easy to check that gamma H, fixed point, not for P mu 1, but for H. Yes, I will denote it now by gamma, maybe. Okay, gamma. Okay, and so it's a product of, for each coordinate, you have to choose an element in P, the normalizer of H, not in G, but in P mu I mod H. Okay, and for each coordinate between 1 and N. Okay, and so each of this group, of course, is just, you have two elements, it's one, each of these groups, one and S alpha I, mu I. Okay, so it's isomorphic to Z mod 2Z. Okay, so it's a product of such group. Okay, so it's just Z mod 2Z to the power n. Okay, and I will denote this group, the group, by E. Okay. Okay, and like in Flag the Whiteys, you can look at the B orbit, so definition of a cell. For all epsilon in E, you can look at B epsilon in gamma. So it's an affine space. It's isomorphic, so I will denote it by gamma epsilon. And gamma epsilon, so it's a cell, it's C L epsilon. So by definition of this integer, but here it's easy, what is L epsilon? Just number of ones in epsilon. And so number of what? Okay. And so I need the closure of this gamma epsilon. It will be y epsilon in gamma. Okay. So a big difference with Flag the Whiteys is that it's smooth. Okay. So in fact, it's proposition, but it's clear. Y epsilon, in fact, it's isomorphic to, it's equal, in fact, to the set of classes G1, Gn, which satisfy Gi is equal to zero if epsilon I is equal to zero. Yes, zero, in fact, it's one. Okay, it will be, yes, it's clear. Z mod 2Z, and one is zero, and H mu 1 is will be one. Yes, exactly. Yes. I will describe it. Yes. One. Like here it's one and here it's zero. And zero it's one, not one. Okay. In a way it's the same, yes. In a way it's the same, but well. Yes, okay. So, okay, and so you see, of course, it's smooth. In fact, it's about some Elson, the white. Yeah. Mu ij for j, epsilon j, you just keep epsilon j equal to 1. Okay, so it's smooth. Okay, and you have an order. So first gamma, the union, disjoint union of gamma epsilon. Okay, and first. And two, y epsilon is a disjoint union of cells. Let's see. And it defines an order, which is obvious to see with what it is. Z mod 2Z, but well, to the power n. Okay, by definition, if you want. So now I'd like to explain the link with G mod B. first I can define a map from gamma g to link with x. So g, I can define a map g from gamma of mu 1 mu n to x. So I have a class. I just multiply g1 times g2 and so on. And it does not depend on which point in this class we choose. Okay. And a result by de Masure. If you choose now reduced decomposition of W, S mu 1, S mu n, in W and n equal to L of W, yes, maybe I should, n equal to L of W. It's reduced decomposition. Okay. You see, maybe, yes, I didn't define Schubert cell, so maybe quickly W in W, X W 0, just to remind you. Okay. So it's BWB mod B, and XW, it's a closure in X. Okay, and you know X is union of X W 0 and so on, and X W 0 is isomorphic to C L. Yes, I didn't define L of W, so it's here. Okay, and it's a minimal decomposition, and that's it. Yes. Okay. And so now, what is the link? So I have G from gamma of mu 1, mu n to, in fact, the image is exactly XW, okay, in X. And so proposition, okay, and is an isomorphism. Well, not between gamma and XW, but between the cell XW0 and G minus 1. Okay, so it's an isomorphism between two open cells in XW and in gamma. Okay, and of course now it's smooth. XW is not smooth in general, but gamma is smooth. Yes, the image is XW. The image is exactly XW, which is not smooth. Yes, and maybe it's not clear, but I mean a G of gamma, it's XW. So, and now what I'd like to do, so it's to give a description of kh of gamma. So first, description of kh of gamma. And two, to describe the morphism G star, we can define from G a morphism G star from kh of x. Okay, so in a way it will be easier to compute in this algebra. Maybe it's bigger, but it's easier to compute here. And I can exactly describe G star.
Can you describe k of h and gamma. Can you understand it well?
Yes, it's what I will. Yes, I will explain. Yes, in front. By generator, relation, basis, and so on. Yes, it's my first point. Okay. So first, of course, if n is 1, it's just CP1. So it's clear. Just remind what we get. So if n is equal to first, I will give a description of K, H, of gamma. So if n is 1, it's CP1. So mu1, it gives you how H acts on CP1. Which is not S1 here, it's H. It's a big torus, H, and it acts by mu1. Okay? So you have CP1. And so what is it? We know KH of CP1 is generated by the trivial line bundle. It's a basis, so by 1 and E. Maybe I will denote it by E1, which is tautological. Line bundle on CP1. Okay, so I have two line bundles, E1 and 1, which generate this algebra, and I have one relation. So, and with one relation, it's E, here it's E minus 1, E minus E mu 1, it's the way H acts on CP1. Okay. In fact, I will need to know E square. So I will just rewrite it. It's E square equal to E, and I will need minus E mu Y, maybe it's E1 each time. I will explain why I need this description. Yes. Yes. Okay. So it's the same equation. Okay, so why? Because I forgot to define. Yes, when I have, in general now, when I have maybe Z, yes, Z, Y, yes, Y and Z. Okay, so Y is a variety, algebraic variety. And Z is a closed, what it means, subvariety of Y. I can define a map from, if I have a bundle over Y. In fact, I like to define an element in R of H for each bundle. So I have a bundle, and I can compute. So what I will denote by chi of on Z, E. So what is it? An element in R of H, so I will need to know it for all H, it's equal to a sum minus 1k. So we restrict E to Z. Okay, so we restrict E to Z, to Z, yes. And we look at, well, I forgot. the kth group of cohomology of this bundle restricted to Z and the trace of H acting, H act on each, well, I don't want to define more precisely, but H acts on each of this group, HK of E restricted to Z. Okay, and so it's a finite sum, it's 0 when K is big. And so it's an, you see, it's defined for all H. And so this way you get an element in R of H. It's a sum of characters. So for, you see I define chi of E restricted to Z. That will denote by chi Z E. Okay, it's an element in R of H. Okay, so and in a way it's linear, so I get a linear map chi Z from K 0 H of X to R of H. Okay, in a way it's just a linear map from for each subvariety of Y. You can define a linear map from chi from K0 to R of H. Okay. Yes, it's Y. It's Y. Yes, it works for all. No, it's Y. It's Y. It was a mistake. It's Y. Okay? So for all variety Y and subvariety Z, you define a linear map from the K theory of Y to R of H. And in a way, my basis now, so here, so here it's CP1, of course it's C union a point. And it's what I call, in fact, gamma, here it's gamma 1, and here it's gamma 0. Here, E is just Z mod 2Z, my fixed points. And so I have two cells, a point and an affine, and C, gamma 1 and gamma 0. Okay? And it's easy now to check that we have, if we compute chi of E1, restricted to a point of gamma 0, it's 1. In fact, here it's obvious for E1 and to gamma 1, it's 0. Okay, so in a way, it's dual to my decomposition. And now, of course, you see, that's why I will need 1 minus E1, because if I compute chi of gamma 0, 1 minus E1 is 0, and chi of gamma 1, 1 minus E1 is 1. So if I choose this basis, E1 is again a basis, and 1 minus E1, I will get a basis which is dual to my decomposition. So it's what I want to do. First, I will maybe denote just my first basis for CP1. So it's mu 0 equal to E1, and maybe 0, and mu 1 equal to 1 minus E1. Okay, so is a basis of with these relations. Okay, and this. Okay. Of K H of gamma, which satisfy star and double star. Okay, and now I'd like to construct a basis for all But Samuelson, Whitey, so by induction. So I have gamma, now n is bigger than 1, gamma of mu 1, mu n, it's a vibration over gamma of mu 1, mu n minus 1 by pi n. Okay, in fact it's more precise, we can exactly describe this vibration, in fact it's a projective of 1 plus ln. Okay. Pi n again. Where ln, it's a line bundle over gamma of mu 1, mu n minus 1. Is a line bundle. So it's, and we can give a precise description of this line bundle in terms of Carton numbers you have here and with mu n. Think between mu n and mu 1, mu 2, mu n minus 1. And when we have such a vibration, we know it works like CP1. So again, you have a trivial line bundle, maybe 1. It's gamma, gamma of mu 1, mu n, it's gamma. So it's just gamma times C. And what is En? So again, it's a tautological line bundle. On gamma, or it's defined by pi n, this description, defined by pi n. In a way, for all, you see, for all element in gamma, you get a line in C2, defined by 1 plus ln. Okay. And gamma defined by pi n. And so, again, it's a basis of, over, yes, maybe. You get a basis of k a of h over k theory of gamma of mu 1, mu n minus 1. Okay, so k h of gamma is a free module, so it's a classical result, huh? Okay, the free module over k h of gamma mu 1 mu n minus 1, it's a module by pi n star. By pi n star. Okay. With a basis 1 and En. 1 and En. The class of En. But well. Okay, and one relation. It's En square is equal to En minus Ln. Instead of E mu n, you have Ln, mu 1, 1 minus En. Okay. So, in a way, you see by induction, it's easy to get a basis, you just multiply. Alors, yes, I will not choose 1 and En, but at each step I choose, in fact, En and 1 minus En, like for CP1. Okay? And so at each step, and so if I define mu for all, you see, epsilon in E, which is z mod 2z n, to the power n, I can define mu epsilon, maybe no, maybe a hat, it's a product. So when epsilon I is equal to zero, we take EI. When epsilon I is equal to one, we take one minus EJ, maybe J. Because of course, by induction, it's a basis of, yes, in fact, EI and the class, well, I have to pull back EI on gamma by pi n minus one, and so on. But it's a class in the gate theory of gamma. So, okay, is a basis, and now it's over R of H. Okay, right. At the end, I have just a point. Okay, of KH of gamma. Okay, and now I have two problems. First, in this relation, I like to find LN in terms of EI, in fact, to have relations between my generators. So it's not obvious. So to find this relation between LN and EI, we have to use a restriction to fixed point. I will not explain, but we can find explicitly LN in terms of EI. And second, I'd like to find a geometric description of this basis, so like the CP1. So again, it works. So in fact, we get this theorem. So first, you see, so K H of gamma, so it's isomorphic to R of H. So we have N generators, EI. I will denote them by XI. So it's just EI. To write my relation, I need X1 minus 1, XN minus 1. In fact, you can find each inverse in terms of X1, XN by induction. Mod I. So what is I? It's these relations, but where you put ln in terms of EI. So I is generated by, so it's EI square is equal to EI minus, so here we get E mu I and a product of EJ for J less, it's not E, it's the X. Okay, let's an I, and it's, you have a power, which is a Cartan number, so it's mu, it's minus mu I of mu J check. And 1, so it, in fact it's LN in terms of EJ, so you have 1 minus XI. Okay, so you have these relations. Okay, and we have a basis, mu epsilon, it's just a product of xi, where I, epsilon I is zero, and product of 1 minus xj, when epsilon j is 1. Okay, so is a basis, maybe hat, of kh of gamma. Okay, so for epsilon in z mod 2z to power n. So in a way, you have a description by generator and relations and the basis in terms of these generators. Yes, and so if you have a geometric description, we can check that here. We can compute, again by restriction to fixed points, chi, this basis, satisfy chi of mu epsilon against, no, it's chi mu epsilon, yes, restricted to gamma epsilon prime, y epsilon prime, Okay, it's delta epsilon epsilon prime, like in CP1. Okay, so that. Okay. So now, if you want to, I will not explain more precisely, but if you want to compute a product of mu epsilon prime, yes, yeah. In terms of course, you want to multiply in terms of mu epsilon seconds, so a sum of, I don't know, r epsilon epsilon prime epsilon seconds in r of h. Bon. We can use, of course, we have to use this relation, and it's quite easy because we have j less than I. So in a way, by induction, when you have such a product, you compute by induction, and you just keep, it depends on what you want for epsilon second, but when you have a 1, you keep this term, and when you have a 0, you just keep, so it's easier, you keep this term. Of course, when it's 0, 0, 0, it's obvious to compute, but almost always 0. Okay, so we get a method this way to compute this structure constant. So now what is the link with Schubert calculus? So now I'd like to look at kh of x. 2, it's G star, and so I describe what I denoted by G star. So first, just a proposition. Again, it's in the paper by Cosson and Kumar. Okay. So we can, it's a new basis, it's not O, it's not the Schubert classes, but it's a kind of Schubert classes, so is a free module, of course, over R of H, so with a basis psi W, it's their notation, which is defined by such that chi of psi w restricted to x v is equal to delta v w. So it's a not at all, no. No. To define this basis?
No, to prove the what does it mean that they didn't use
Boltzmann? No. Okay. It's a combinatorial definition first, and they check that. But okay. So, and now of course we have a question: is to multiply psi u psi v by psi v. Q U V W Psi W. Okay, so in R of H, find this structure constant. So what is the link with R epsilon epsilon prime epsilon second? So I need to describe G star. So I need more notation. You know, because I need a new product in, like yesterday, in fact, in W. Okay, so W, you know, is generated by S alpha I with relations. So we have S alpha I square is equal to 1, and what is called the braid relations. So S alpha J, S alpha I, and so on, is equal, you just switch I and J, S alpha I, S alpha J, and so on. You have a number of times, it's M I J times. Okay, for both. Okay, it's called braid relations. So in type A, it's just SI, SJ is equal to SJ, SI, if so it's 2 MIJ, if J minus I is bigger than 1, and if it's equal to 1, okay, and of course SI square is 1. Okay, so now I'd like to define a new product, so I will denote maybe my underline W. So it's not a group, but it's generated by the same reflection. So W is maybe generated by S underline S alpha I. Okay, so for 1, I between 1 and L. And so we have relations. So we keep braid relations. But now S alpha I square, it's S alpha I. Underline. Maybe first definition. You see now we have a map, just a map between W and underline W. If here you choose W but reduce decomposition, okay, K equal to L of W, you can now compute in underline W S mu I, S mu K. Okay, and I denote it by underline W. Okay, and it's a bijection, it's not obvious, but it works. It's a bijection. Okay, of course it's not an homomorphism. So now what is the link with, and so a third definition. Now if I take epsilon in E, Z, so maybe, yes, maybe first. So now I'd like to give a method to compute Q, U, V, W. Okay, so it's defined there. So now I choose a reduced or not reduced, in fact, the composition of W. Okay. Okay. And I look at gamma of mu 1, mu n. And I can define a map from gamma to x, is g. Okay, so you see, of course, what here you have 6 points, so it's XW, XH, W maybe, and here you have epsilon. Which is Z mod 2Z, N. Okay. So of course, if you compute g of epsilon, by definition, I get the product of s mu I, where epsilon I equal to 1. Okay, when it's 1, you keep h mu I, and when it's 0, it's 1. But now I need a new definition is to compute in this monoid. So it's maybe definition. Underline V of epsilon, it's not G of epsilon, but it's a product of S mu I underline now in underline W, again for epsilon I equal to 1. Maybe I will give example if I have time, but I don't think so. So, okay. So what is now the result? Proposition. So I want now to compute G star, to compute Q U V W. I want to compute G star of T U and G star of T V. So what is first? What is G star? Maybe I will just explain that. G star of T U. It's a sum of mu epsilon, and here it's just 1 or 0, and it's 1 in fact when underline V of epsilon is equal to underline U. Okay, and it's 1 when it's n. Okay. So now you see, I will not explain, but we know how to multiply. So here it's in KH of X. So here we know how to multiply mu epsilon by mu epsilon prime. You know G star of psi U and G star of psi V. Excuse me? Gamma, excuse me, yes. Okay. So we know how to find that and that and this in a simpler algebra. And we know how to compute now a product here. And in a way, I will not explain, but G star, in a way, it's injective. Or when you want to compute QUV of W, you just have to compute one coefficient here. Of course, you have a sum, so you have, but for each product, you get one coefficient here. Okay, so it gives a way, or maybe just an example, not of a computation, but just to see how it works here. So, maybe. If in the case, for example, G equal to SL 3C, okay, so it's A2, we look at gamma W0, so it's S1, S2, S1, and we look so at gamma of alpha 1, alpha 2, alpha 1. So you see we have 3 generators, maybe maybe I will just write the first relations. Maybe the last one, because it's more interesting. So you have x1 square, it's something, x2 square, and x, it's more complicated. So x3 square, it's x3, minus, you see, we have e, so it's alpha 1, maybe minus alpha 1. And now you have x1 square, because the Cartan number here is 2, so it's minus 2, so it's x1 minus 2. x2, here the Cartan number is 1, minus 1, so it's 1, and 1 minus x3. Okay, and here you get easier relations. Okay, so it's my description. And now, for example, an example of G star. Okay, so G star from kh of x now to kh of gamma. For example, if we look at, here it's alpha 1, alpha 2, alpha 1. Okay, so of course C1, it's always just x1, x2, x3. I just have one way to find 1, it's 0, 0, 0. I mean it's 1 times 1 times 1. Okay, now C S1, S2 maybe first. So it's quite easy. It's just one way to find S2, it's here. So it's just x1, now it's 1 minus x2 and x3. But now, for S1, it's a bit more complicated. Of course, you have here and here, but when you multiply now S alpha 1 times S alpha 1, you get back S alpha 1. Because it's not in W. So it's 1 minus x1, x2, x3. Plus x1, x2, 1 minus x3 times plus, now it's 1 minus x1, it's 1, 0, 1. Okay. Sometimes, you get many terms. And now, you multiply with these relations, and you can find all products this way. So just a last remark. Of course, you get that it's not a perfect method. You can have cancellation. For example, if you know it must be positive in a way, in a certain meaning, you can get negative terms and cancellation. So first, you can get. And second, Haibao Duan, gave a program with similar formulas but in cohomology. Okay, he gave a program using such methods. Of course, it's much easier. Here you just, for example, here you just have these terms, not this one. Not this one, I mean. You compute in W, and the relation are much easier. And so he gave a program to multiply in cohomology, so. Just in ordinary cohomology to multiply. Well, now it's called, XU times XV. Okay, and it's quite efficient. He gave a lot of results, I guess. Maybe for A6 or A7, I don't remember.